Let's give a big hello and thank you to everyone who helped. Hello, everyone, and thank you. Whoever is listening to this who's not here today gets the big hello. Thanks, you guys. That's awesome. Well, we're going to let the kids go to Kingdom Land here in a second. I just want you guys to know one thing, and they're like, oh, no. You know, I really appreciated the theme about rescuing, God, Jesus coming and rescuing us, and the kids learning that. I didn't know that when I was a little kid. I didn't understand anything like that. So to set the stage for that and then to take off and go even deeper as a teen is just really cool. And then have older ones impart to the younger ones all the way along is just the kingdom of God. And so today when I share, it's going to be from that perspective. But going into the courts of heaven and going into places and talking and being aware of what our enemy is able to do and how Jesus can rescue us is something that these little people need to learn someday. So as we take our opportunity to go into the scriptures and see how God wants to execute freedom for us in the midst of the enemy accusing us is really going to hopefully be an opening for us to go deeper in the rescue of Jesus. So be blessed, guys. Go to Kingdom Land. Enjoy today. It's going to be good. I know it. Amen. And I don't know if anybody from the summer celebration received any donations or any $36.55, which will buy a pair or two of shoes. And for Pastor Jose, and we're also looking for donations directly for, I don't know if you say it Magia or Magia. I'm not sure how to say it. Magia size 5 or number 5 for soccer balls. Those are professional soccer balls. We want to take those and shoes over to Pastor Jose this summer in a few weeks. So if you want to go out and purchase anything like that or give us a donation for that or something, that would be a real big blessing for that group. So, amen. That's awesome. I think everybody had to, I feel like getting in that, hammock over there. This is so cool. Do you love these decorations? It's amazing. I know Carl and Darlene found some other sources in addition to the church that we partner with to be able to use the summer celebration things, some of the summer celebration things, and they found some other sources as well, some other churches. So this is all ours, and we'll see what we can do. Maybe we'll have something to do to carry the theme when we have the outreach for the inner city in August. All of it or some of it?
All of it, to me, so they can use it.
And then we get it back, though? I think, if we want it. Anyway, that's what Carl said. Maybe there's another part to that. I don't really know, but that's what I understood it to mean. So, because we were talking about giving it to Lawrence to oversee all this. Yeah. So if you're going to be getting that to that church or whatever, yeah, you want to talk to Carl about that and get the word of the Lord on that one. Yeah. Okay. Oh, what a great summer this is. Well, I didn't give a list of verses or anything, but I have a bunch I want to go through to show us, go a little bit deeper in the areas of trying to ensure freedom, not only for ourselves, but for our families. How many people have family members or friends, or you know of places or people or ministries or businesses or whatever where there seems to be bondage? Anybody? Starting with ourselves, right? We always want to look at that and see, Lord, what are you saying to me? I know in this place, we love talking about Psalm 39, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and show me any hurtful or wicked way in me and lead me to the path of everlasting. Search me, O God, and know my heart. And the reason is the Lord wants us to be completely free of anything that would get in the place of the blessings that he has for us. So he's releasing blessings from heaven always, because he always has. He's the Father of lights, and every blessing has already been preordained for us. And our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and there's a book written about us also. And this is even before we were actually released on the earth through the birth of our moms. And the Lord wants us to understand how that all looks and how that works. And so as I was thinking about this, just asking the Lord, what are you highlighting in this season? What are you saying right now in areas for my own life that will help me understand how you work, how you navigate, so we don't concentrate ever on the enemy, But we need to understand what he has a right to do and not do, and what his power looks like that tries to stop us and tries to keep us from the very best that the Lord has for us. And, you know, when we take a look at the scriptures from that perspective, you know, God just opens up a new realm of understanding for us. I know that there's a word called curses that we've used here, and you guys have heard the word curses, and it's the opposite of blessings. And curses are spiritual empowerments from the dark side that push against us. They push against our loved ones, and they're released, and they only are able to operate if they have a legal right to do so. We're children of the King. We're rescued by Jesus. He's gone to the cross for us, right? And so we know that every curse was nailed to a tree. Jesus did that. He paid the price for us. We know that. We believe that. But for that to become a reality in our life, not just a thought, an idea, and a truth that's out there somewhere, we need to be able to know how to appropriate. That means to make it happen in our life, to make it, to walk it out, to actually see it within the realm that needs transformation. And the realm of our life would be our thinking, our heart, and our emotions, our mind, our will, and our emotions, and our body. So any of those areas that would have anything operating against us that we don't see or we don't understand, we need to be able to see, and we need to be able to understand so we can do something about it. So when we cry out, help, 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 rescue me, rescue me, rescue me, do you know what the Lord's going to do? Now, these guys will catch that to a certain degree because they're kids or young adults in the making. And so for us, he's saying, that's what I will do. Keep coming to me, but I'm going to lead you in a journey. I'm going to lead you on the road of discovery to know how to function at the highest level so you get the highest result. That's what I really love about the Lord. He's always unpacking. He's always showing us the areas that are for us to be able to access. When we see our Jesus as high priest and we know him as high priest, that means as the great intercessor and high priest, he's always making intercession for us. So when we are very, very busy and active as we're reading the scriptures, understanding Hebrews and understanding the atonement and understanding how the blood covenant works, etc., the Lord is saying, when you get this, when you see this, if you apply this to your everyday life, there's going to be such a difference. You're going to see things, you can see things, that you've been crying out for and desiring for a very long time, possibly speeding up in the delivery and the breakthrough because you've touched a place where it moves something away from the enemy that feels that it has the legal right. So when we talk about legalities, we're talking about a judicial jurisdiction of God himself. Okay? He's a just judge. How many of us have ever heard of the parable of the unjust judge? We know what that is, right? In what is it, Luke 18, 1 through 8? And the Lord wants us to see that in that, why don't we go ahead and put that up? Wants us to see, and we've talked about this many times in here, the unjust judge and the parable of the widow who is just pounding the door saying, I want a verdict. I want a decree. I want you to tell me. I want you to make a decision. And I'm not giving up. And I am relentlessly going after you until you give me something. Because, here's the parable, the reasoning behind it. Because I know that I can. Because I know that you'll hear me. Because I know that even an unjust judge finally will be able to understand what I'm trying to do. So there's a natural perspective given, if you will, in a parable that's spiritual. But Jesus, the meaning behind that is for us to understand what Jesus is saying to us. I'm not just pounding and pounding and pounding, but going into the places in the spirit to be able to affect change. Now, sometimes we may get an understanding. We've got it up here. Okay, let's just look at this before I go on. Let's look at this so we can kind of set the stage, because we're looking at a legal perspective, from a legal perspective here. We're looking at a judicial way of praying. It's Jesus saying, let me paint a picture for you. When you judicially, okay, go after me legally, if you will, contend for what belongs to you, because Jesus came to fulfill what I told him to do, Father God says, and he did it as a man. He did it completely. So when he intercedes for you now as the great high priest and great intercessor, he does that as the God-man already born, who has died, who has risen, and who also has ascended. Okay? But he did that when he was a man before he died, before he was buried, before he was raised, before he was ascended. He did it. He did it. Let me just say this so you can kind of catch it. He did that, if you recall, when the enemy came and Peter wanted to be, or the enemy wanted to sift Peter. And Jesus said, Peter, I've prayed for you. I have interceded for you. I have gone before my Father in heaven by basically saying, I've prayed for you, not as God from heaven, but as man. As man, as a man who was fully obedient to the Lord Jesus Christ. And because I did what I'm telling you you can do, because I did what I'm telling you you should do, there was a change. There was a change. And Peter was not sifted, as he could have been virtually destroyed. One of the reasons was because Jesus knew, was able to access what the larger picture would be for Peter, who was going to be the one who was going to carry the gospel of the kingdom along with Paul and others and begin Christianity from that perspective once the Holy Spirit was released and the church was born during that season. And he knew. He knew how Peter would die because he prophesied it, but he got that from heaven. He didn't come down operating as King Jesus. He operated fully as a man submitted to the Father. Remember last time, 2 weeks ago when I was preaching, I put some verses up here about Jesus only doing what he saw his Father do, only hearing and saying what he heard his Father saying and doing, and responding to that. So if we can settle that in our mind, that Jesus did everything that he did as God, he's laid aside his powers, so to speak. He laid aside his divinity. He still is God. He's Jesus, but he operated fully as a man. And that's why he had to operate and not sin. He was tempted fully, but he did not sin. So every temptation known to man, he says to us, every temptation, there's a way of escape for you and for me. Every temptation known to you, known to you, known to you, known to me, there's a way of escape, and Jesus proved it. But he had to go so low, he had to humble himself completely. He had to absolutely take everything to the Father above all else and live sinlessly with every power against him. And when the enemy was trying to, we will get to this one up here. I just want to give you a little background. When the enemy was trying to come against Jesus in the desert after he was baptized, remember? And he was baptized and the Trinity was all, you know, woohoo, this is my son in whom I'm well pleased. And there's the dove descending on Jesus and he's being physically baptized, being spiritually baptized. He's released in the desert, into the desert for 40 days, 40 nights in Luke chapter 3. And what happened at that point? The enemy came against him 3 times very strongly to try to get him to operate as God fully in his divinity, because it was so strong, but he didn't. So he didn't cave in. He operated as man and then completely submitted himself to the Father. So he was empowered over and over again. So he makes a way for us to do that. Does it make sense? So if he makes a way for us to do that and he goes into this really tough time into the desert full of the Holy Spirit, but he comes out full of power, he's wanting us to know how to get full of power and how to access the courts of heaven that render the decisions where the Lord, the Father, is saying, This is what I'm calling you to understand. This is what I'm calling you to know. Because you can, because I released it. So if you want to know more, position yourself to know more, and I will reveal to you the secrets of heaven. After this, can you put up Deuteronomy 29:29? Okay? Let's just look at this parable. Because Jesus is always teaching us, right? And then he spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart, saying, there was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. The opposite of what we're called to do, right? We're called to fear God and regard man. So it's just the opposite right here. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him and said, get justice for me from my adversary. Okay, our adversary, the devil, is like a roaring lion, and he's prowling around to see who he can devour. Do you know that biblically the word adversary, when you look it up in the Greek, actually means judicial opponent? You know, sometimes we say, oh, we have a picture of a boxer, you know, in the ring, and he's trying to get us and we're ducking or whatever. It's not really like that. He's the accuser, and he builds cases, and he helps people partner with him building cases against themselves, against others. Why? To rob them and others of their destiny. Because everything that was written about us before we actually even were born needs to come to pass. And the Lord says, I want it to come to pass in your life. Do you? Well, yes. Well, let me show you how that can happen. Even though I give you free choice and free will, I have a plan. And everybody in here could probably quote it if you've graduated from high school or college or eighth grade or whatever. But Jeremiah 29, 11 through 13. For I know the plans I have for you. Plans to prosper you, not harm you, to give you a hope and a future. But the Lord says, that's nice, that's a promise, but you have to apprehend the promise. It doesn't just kind of happen as you bump along. It doesn't work that way. So if we're not living the way Jesus says, I want you to move towards the way that I operate so that that promise comes to pass. So I'm going to teach you how to do that. I'm going to teach you how to live that way. I'm going to teach you how to battle that way. But before you go on the battlefield, you better get a verdict from the Lord. You better understand what the great just judge actually says and means. So when we approach the throne of grace with confidence and boldness, Hebrews 4:16, that'll be at the next, you can put that up too after this, those two, Deuteronomy 29:29, Hebrews 4:16. Then that's a place where everybody goes and says, oh, I approach the throne of grace with confidence and boldness, and Jesus heard me in my time of need and rendered his mercy and grace. There's more. You would think that's enough, but there's actually more. There are more places in the Spirit to be able to access, to understand, and be able to punch the lights out of the enemy, to really cut the head off of Goliath, to really do, to see curses against us and people we love, boom, dismantled. Wouldn't you like to see that? More and more and more. And the more we understand this, the more it becomes everyday common lingo. Not that you're going to explain it like this at First Friday to someone who's going, who's Jesus? But for you guys who are growing more and more and more in maturity, these are areas that the Lord wants us to center in, to establish within our own self. I was peacefully sleeping last night and awakened at 4 a.m, much to my dismay. And I heard the Lord and felt the Lord and heard the Lord speaking to me. So I went out and I sat in the hallway and I just wrapped myself up in a blanket. And I was just listening to him, and he was revealing answers to me of questions that I had asked him. And he said, now respond. It's like, wow. And so I was able to respond very effectively, and I was so empowered and emboldened. So this went on for till about, it was 4:30 when I got out of bed. I struggled. But I went back to sleep at 6. But the Lord said, I had this peace that went after that. I went back to bed, and that was that. I don't know what happened, but I know something happened in the spirit. Okay, so hold those thoughts in your heart, and let's just continue this. So I'm going to read it out loud. I know you folks can read, but people are listening online later who are not here. So get justice for me from my adversary, a.k.a. legal opponent. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. Well, first of all, it has to be so extreme because we never weary God. We never bother our Father. We don't bother Father. So it has to be so out there that you don't mix up anything in this for our Father other than he says, keep going, keep moving, but move more accurately, okay? Sometimes if we don't understand the mature meaning behind this, we'll say, okay, I'm going to do more. I'm going to pray more. I'm going to spend more time. That in itself isn't wrong or bad. It all depends on what we're doing. Because sometimes we have an easy explanation and we say, well, you know, sometimes the Lord says yes, sometimes he says no, and sometimes he says wait. We've all said that, right? And maybe that's true. It's probably true. I'm not saying it's not true, but maybe it's a little bit trite, meaning there's more where maybe the Lord's saying, you know, there's another dimension I want you to learn how to operate in. You operate in this dimension that I'm enabling you to operate in, then you'll have your breakthrough and your answer, and you won't be waiting as long. Now, personally, I don't want to go ahead of the Lord, and I don't want to be behind the Lord. I want to be with him. So if he's revealing something and he's saying, okay, there is a process here. You've already submitted yourself. You've said, I want to know you, Lord. I want to know the power of your resurrection. And I want to share in the fellowship of your sufferings. Okay, you've done that. Not that it's a checklist. I don't mean it that way. But you offer yourself that way. You surrender yourself. And you also say to the Lord, hey, Lord, according to Revelation 12, I am an overcomer by the blood of the Lamb, yes, and the word of think of the word testimony. Is that a legal word? And the word of my testimony, and I love not my life unto the death. Don't forget that part. Meaning, no matter what, you've got me. Just like Job said, though you slay me, I will follow you because my Redeemer lives. Some people say, don't look at Job at all. We live under a new covenant. That's like saying Jesus didn't mean anything at all for us in the book of Job, so forget that. That's not true. And those who have said that before probably misinterpret somebody else who says, concentrate on Jesus. Well, the answer is yes, because Jesus hadn't come. But at the same time, it's very clear in Job, what authority, what realm the enemy was able to move in and what the Father said about that and what did happen to him even without the great intercessor and high priest. So we can take that as, hey, now we do have Jesus. However, what do we do with the accuser of the brethren? Is he still able to operate? If he wasn't, we wouldn't have a great intercessor and a great high priest. We wouldn't have a need. Think about it. That's what Jesus is doing day and night. And he wants us to be able to do the same and to understand that. I'm trying to unpack this simply and not make it complicated, because I don't think it is. But if our hearts are just positioned to say, Lord, I want more, I want to receive deeper spiritual revelation, deeper spiritual understanding, so that when I, boom, give a punch, it does something that is so effective, more than I ever thought before, meaning in your authority, I will understand it. To apprehend the blessings that belong to me from you for the sake of your kingdom. Okay? Then the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. And shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? Now, can you back that up for a second, please? Okay, let's look at that third line from the bottom again. Then the Lord said, hear. This is the Lord speaking now after the parable. So the Lord's getting our attention. Hear what the unjust judge said. And shall God, the Father, not avenge his own elect? What does that mean? What's avenge mean? It means that I'm going to stand in the gap and I am going to render what I say will happen. My verdict will be, boom, mercy. My verdict will be freedom. My verdict will be, yes, the destiny will be unlocked. These are steps in unlocking our breakthrough, our destinies being fulfilled. Because we can go so far and then just kind of get caught in a mire of things. And the Lord might be saying, maybe you're not understanding what's fully hindering you. And we want to talk about that. And we do talk about that in here. So that's not new to us. Okay, let's go to the next page now. Though he bears long with them, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Why is the word speedily in there? Speedily suggests that things can take a very, very long time, longer perhaps than necessary, because speedily on God's timetable may not be speedily on ours, but I'd rather just say I'm on God's timetable, whatever that is, than just making it up and saying, well, you know, sometimes these things take 40 years. Okay, maybe they would or do, maybe that's speedily for God, but maybe not. It depends on what he says about things. And what I want to do, and I'm hoping that we all are in this together, is be able to access his courtroom and say, here I am. I know there's protocol when you go in a courtroom. You know that. There's civil court, there's federal court, there's divorce court, there's all kinds of courts, family court or whatever. And there's ways to handle things within the courtroom, correct? So if there's a legal way and a legal court that is presiding to be able to render a verdict of what God says belongs to us that needs to happen before we just start going after the devil and kind of, you know, fighting in the air, and the enemy's going, you didn't disengage the legal right that I had to come after you. And if you know that, you'll really be dangerous. It's like, oh. And God says, I want you to be an overcomer by the blood of the Lamb, the word of your testimony, which includes not loving your life unto the death. So if we are overcomers, then God releases an unction, an anointing on our life from overcoming, not just getting through a rough time, but from overcoming, from actually saying, all right, Lord, this was the pit. This was hard. This is hard. These are tough times or whatever. I hate it. But you know what? I'm learning in this season how to access next season and the season after that. That's an overcomer. An overcomer is one, as the lady said this morning, like David, who was a man after God's own heart. But with that, he learned and began more and more to learn how to overcome, and he was strengthened. And God gives us these legal ways to overcome, because he's if If righteousness and justice are the foundations of his throne, he's trying to tell us something. Okay? So he's our God of righteousness and justice, and he wants to render justice to us when the enemy comes and is accusing us and we don't know how to stop it. We don't want to give him a legal right to continue to accuse. We want to answer any accusation or offer it to the Lord, and we do that many different ways. One way, main way, is to repent so that he doesn't have fodder. He doesn't have accusing information, if you will. But that's offered back to the Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you have forgiven me. Thank you that I am released from this so that it can affect change. But what if there's no change? Well, I already repented. Well, maybe there wasn't complete repentance, or maybe there was some aspect of restoration that the Lord wanted to bring in another area of your life that prevented the fullness of the repentance to be effective, or even the knowledge that it wasn't effective. AKA, well, maybe I've been living under the pressure or the power of a curse in another part of my life that's separate from this. I was bad. I did wrong. I don't like it. Sorry, God. And I mean it. You know, I'm not trying to be trite about that. But maybe there are other things that have been operating. And it's like, oh, I fell into that again. Oh, I fell into that again. Oh, I wish I could get, you know. Bah. Well, maybe there's something in the bloodline that keeps on empowering. Poof, try this one. Poof. Oh, you're, you know, angry again, or you're this, that, or whatever, again, or you're feeling rejection again, or whatever it is. You know, and the enemy keeps sending the same thing again and again and again. And then you kind of spin your wheels and feel like a failure. It's like, geez, sometimes I feel like, do you ever feel like, why is this happening again? You know, I'm really trying to live the life you've called me to live. And the Lord's saying, you are, except you're not understanding that there's another place of maturity in the area of prayer that's going to take what has been coming against you, if you'll stop, if you'll humble yourself and be willing to recognize it. And then we can do something about it. And that will close a door. And then when that door is closed, really closed, things can start to pop. It's like, foo, foo, foo. Okay? Can we put Deuteronomy 29, 29? You may have to listen to this. I'm not going to give a ton more today because I think when we think about these things, a million different scenarios are going through your mind. If you're like me, I was just like, oh yeah, but what about this and what about that? And I go to the Lord and I think about these things, and I want us to consider these things before the Lord and go through some more. I do have some more scriptures, but let's look at Deuteronomy 29. The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. Now, that's talking about lineage. Just keep it up for a second, Car, okay? That's talking about lineage, isn't it? The secret things belong to the Lord, except what is revealed to us. In other words, there are secret things, but he's revealing them to us, and they are intended to belong to our children. That's God's intent. So what would the enemy try to do? Keep us from having children, destroying children that are here, getting them off their track of what God purposed before the foundations of the world. Think about that. Just in violation of this scripture of Deuteronomy 29, 29. So when we go to look at that and we attempt to approach the Lord based on that, we've got some substance going, whoa, wait a minute here. I'm coming after and I am going to get a judgment against the accuser of the brethren who's accusing me or my kids or my grandkids or the ministry or a business or, you know, a city, a region, a state, whatever it is. These are the deeper things to consider before the Lord, which takes us into greater places of maturity. It's like, whoa, Well, I've already broken curses. Okay, well, maybe not. Or maybe the Lord's saying, you know what, I am the just judge. Did you get that parable? Maybe there's some things you're not fully seeing and understanding, and you're growing in that process, and maybe there's something affecting you that you didn't even recognize that still gives the enemy a legal right to hit somebody else related to you. That's sobering. Think about that. Think about what this means. One that's coming to mind is, and I was talking to a friend last night. A friend last night I've had for many, many years, and her husband is being accused of defrauding people. It's been on the front page of the paper. It's very rough. He divorced my good friend 7 years ago. His son had committed suicide 12 years ago. This man is very bright, and I've known him since his kids were really little. And he's in Stark County Jail. And you can only imagine the heartache from a wife that was tossed aside and all things that go with that, and a child who has committed suicide. And now this, from the person that I knew years ago, wasn't like that at all. And my friend and I were talking about all of that. But then I thought, how can I help my friend? What can I say? The knowledge, the spiritual knowledge that I have from the Lord, what do I say now that would bring her to a place of peace to understand her role and what she can do as the non-wife, but yet sees that there are curses that this family, and particularly this guy, have been under. Curses are spiritual pressures that continue to incite all kinds of things against the very plan that God has for us. And it can just be so debilitating because we think, I got over that before. But yet things keep happening. This does not take any responsibility away from a person who sins. So don't get mixed up thinking, well, she's saying you can do anything you want. Just, you know, it's all the devil's fault. If we recognize what the definitions are of sin, transgression, and iniquity, what they really mean, and then we use this word of God to go and say to the Lord that I am going to be one, or you're going to be one, who is going to stand in the gap for myself or someone else for what I see, what you've shown me has happened, because the secret things belong to me and to my lineage as well, spiritual and natural. So you're spiritual children to us here in that sense. So imparting what I can. And there's much more. This is just like a boom, you know, a little bit of tip of the iceberg. But these are things that, you know, God wants us to know. So one thing amongst many, we were on the phone for hours last night, and one thing that I said was, you know, Timothy, when Paul's talking about Timothy, just real simple, he was saying that Timothy operated in faith, but this faith was part of the inheritance that he had from his mother and from his grandmother, his mother Eunice and from his grandmother. He came from a strong mother and grandmother, and he had faith, and faith was imparted to him. Now, he had to respond to that, but he had faith imparted to him as a spiritual son also of Paul. So he had some natural things that were helpful from a natural bloodline of Eunice and his grandmother, but his spiritual father was Paul. So there was this impartation from a spiritual father also that was intended to carry him, which he did, but God makes that really clear. And she said, whoa, that really helps. Because she's thinking now about her daughter and all of her grandchildren. But she's also thinking about the one who's caught in the trap. that God over the last 7 years has brought such healing to, that she now could stand in the gap in a more effective way for someone who's completely entangled by the enemy through curses, through iniquity in the family line, through choices. The enemy doesn't care. He will beat you down. You might feel like you're struggling or it's been rough, and he'll say, oh, I'm so sorry, boom, and hit you again. It's the enemy. But the enemy wants us to blame people. If we can blame somebody else because you did this, so I feel that, then he wins. Because then the very thing that continues to hit us goes unnoticed, unchecked. Because you cannot be freed from any effects of a curse if there's one operating, if you will not be willing to submit yourself to the Lord and or others to say, let's pray and see if there's something operating against me. It's just common sense. And the Lord says, I want you guys to be free. I'm not mad at anybody, but if you don't understand the weight that the enemy has, man, you're missing out on some of the secret things. So he makes it simple, you know, for us. It's like, oh my gosh, that just empowers me and strengthens me, thinking he loves me that much that he wants me to have the full ability to be able to see Jesus rescue me and put the rescue on Jesus, but understand how it works, because it's all through the scriptures. Okay, now what was the other scripture I told you to put up? Hebrews 4:16, okay. This is very familiar. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. If we thought of the throne, which when you look it up in the Greek, the word throne is meaning a place of judicial jurisdiction, okay, where the king is executing judgment, and we're going day and night into the throne room, and there's no special protocol for this. It's for everybody. Come on, everybody. This is complete access. And then, you know, another time we can talk about other areas where the Lord will take us to, where the Lord's saying, there are ways to be able to go into certain places and affect legal change in certain arenas without getting backlash from the stupid enemy. Because that's what he wants. He wants ignorance. So we just kind of bump around and take something, go, yeah, that'll work, which incites the enemy, and then there's backlash. It's like, whoa, wait, whoa. I want to understand what that is without fear. But the Lord many times will gift certain people, or there will be a special anointing through the gifting, or just an anointing that comes on someone, or an overcoming spirit of someone who has had a lifestyle of overcoming problem after problem after problem. It's like, when does this stop? And the Lord says, I'm developing great faith in you. I'm doing this because your faith is going to make you well. Your faith is going to release you into this. Okay, see the connection here. Your faith, the faith of heaven, is going to move that mountain. So let me develop that so you can pummel anything in the spirit, in my name, by my blood, with my power, that comes against you or your loved ones, and really be effective. You can tell when someone's carrying that kind of anointing. It's not how loud they are. It's not how strong they are sounding. But at sometimes there is an awareness that you know, that someone is carrying something that you might not be carrying at that moment. You might have the right sounding words, but the anointing's not there. So there may be an overcoming person who is able to do something, and God knows who it is and will quicken that person to stand up and boom, grab the mic or whatever. And it's like that stirs us up. Now, if we put this in our arsenal and we say, Lord, this sounds like a lot. Let's be simple. Let's just go worship and prophesy. That's great too. But I also think with that, when the Lord says, I will reveal mysteries of heaven, that there will be great desire to say, Lord, there is more? What is that more? Can I understand a little bit more? Can I see how that works for me? And it's easy. There's not a frenzy or anything like that. One thing I was looking at this morning, again, is Job. And I wanted to mention something to you. In Job chapter 1, where would it be? Okay, verse 7. Now, Satan and the Lord are talking, and we can put that up if you can. And we're going to go all the way down to verse 12, so 7 through 12. So let's listen to this. This gives us a picture of what happened in heaven before Jesus, the great high priest and intercessor, took his place after his work was finished at the cross. Okay? This is before. But it shows you the transaction going on in heaven. And so now we have the great high priest and intercessor now fighting for us, but at the same time, if we're carrying around a curse that's operating in our family line or through a sin of our own or some type of impure motive or something like that, and we don't see it, which is why Pastor Bill's always saying, search, you know, let's go to Psalm 139, search me, oh God. It's so that we can get free of anything that would hinder this verdict from heaven that's already been given, but the Lord says, now you can appropriate it, okay? All right, verse 7. The Lord said to Satan, from where do you come? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from roaming about on the earth and walking around on it. The Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? For there is no one like him on the earth, a blameless, upright man, fearing God and turning away from evil. Then Satan answered the Lord, does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not made a hedge about him and his house? Now listen to the accusing. And all that he has on every side, you have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. But put forth your hand now and touch all that he has. He will surely curse you to your face. So could that be the accusation of the enemy saying, you know, Job has impure motives, watch. He's got impure motives against you, Jesus, because life is good. You put a hedge around him. He's happy. He fears you to a degree, but let me at him and watch what happens, because he'll turn. And that was the accusation against him at that point. Maybe an impure motive. So the Lord says, behold, all that he has is in your power, only do not put forth your hand on him. So Satan departed from the presence of the Lord. And we know at the end of Job, we know everything was restored double. You know, we know the end of the story was good. But Job went through a very trying time. So our theology is not based on Job alone, but with the consideration that there are courts and transactions going on in the heavenly realm. And now we have this great high priest and this great intercessor, but still the Lord's calling us to walk in the freedom that he has. He's calling us to holiness. He's calling us to be absolutely squeaky clean and pure. He who has clean hands and a pure heart will climb the holy hill, right? And that's what he's saying to us. So he's looking at our motives, he's looking at our heart. So when he tells us, okay, there's two verses here to just kind of explain a few things about maybe the differences between sin and transgression and iniquity. So I'm going to put those two up. I think I've marked them on here. So that we can be free of sin, free of any transgression, and free of iniquity. Because anything operative gives the enemy a legal right to destroy, to deny our blessing. And I'm not okay with that. But that's how God set it up. So Let's put up Psalm 51, 1 and 2, and then Psalm 32, 1 and 2. Now, this is interesting, these two things together. Well, we'll do this one first, and then the next one. Notice the three words, because there can be rebellion in our heart where we haven't acted something out yet, but we just don't want to. And if I want to talk about that person, I will. If I don't want to go to do X, Y, and Z, I won't. In other words, not this deep fear of God that you're grieving the Holy Spirit. That can come from something here. Be gracious to me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the greatness of your compassion, blot out my transgressions. One, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. Three different things. Okay, remember those. David's crying out. Now, let's put up Psalm 32, 1 and 2. How blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. How blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute, release, iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. Let me read that again. It's very strong. How blessed, in other words, not cursed, okay? Blessings are release. It's a release of blessing. How blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, sin covered. How blessed is the man whom the Lord does not impute iniquity and whose spirit there is no deceit. And from my understanding of searching out transgression, that word is referring to rebellion in the heart, just rebellion, which affects which can affect our motives. Have you ever wondered, why do I keep not wanting to please God because I want to do something like this first? I just really want to do it. That's rebellion. And the Spirit of God, that can come. That can actually come from iniquity in the family line. Iniquity can be something that is brought from the third or fourth generation, the Bible says. But one thing I've never really thought about before, because it always kind of bothered me, third and fourth generation, what if it happened in the fifth or the sixth? It just doesn't apply. But if you think about it, if you take the third and fourth generation from where you are now and you go back, let's say to the fourth generation, when you get to that generation, aren't there four generations before that? And then you go to that fourth generation or the eighth generation, and aren't there four generations before that? So in other words, if that iniquity had been carried forward from the beginning of time, we could go back to Adam and Eve and just cover it. Have you ever thought about it that way? Interesting. I hadn't thought about that, but it always kind of bugged me. I went, that doesn't even make sense. And you get these blessings, all these, you know, for all these future generations. So it seems like the enemy can trick people and not make it clear. So if you look at those three areas and say, wow, Lord, how do I get free from these kinds of things? You know, what do I do? Let's put up Proverbs 26, 2. And Psalm 89, 14, just so that we have it on the record. Psalm 89, 14 is the very familiar verse that we have as the foundation for freedom cry in here, that righteousness and justice are the foundation of the throne of this legal center of Jesus. Righteousness and justice. So the Lord, the just judge, wants us to be able to apprehend every blessing that belongs to us and not have anything stand in the way. And so in these areas, for this is an example of what a curse can do compared to a little fleeting sparrow. It says a sparrow in its flitting, like a swallow in its flying, so a curse without cause does not alight or does not land. Some people say a causeless curse shall not stand. this is saying, just like a bird, you know, is just kind of flying around and is looking for a place to build its nest. And you don't want a bird to build its nest next to your front window or next to your carport or something like that, because it's going to be messy and there's going to be birds all over and all that kind of stuff. So, but if there's not a reason to stay because it's been removed, there'll be no nest that will be built that will bring more birds and more birds the following year and the year after that and the year after that. In other words, a curse is like this. A curse is around. It's an empowerment that the enemy has to be able to touch a person or a family, okay, or a business or a ministry or whatever. And if it has a just reason in any way, shape, or form, then it can land and it can stay. It can try. It can attack. Birds can try, but you might say, oh, I'm going to get my broom and, you know, they're not going to have a bird's nest there. That's not going to happen. So he can try. But so these are your legal ways to be able to see that God is saying, no, I don't want that for you. I don't want anything. And to see if there's something that's repeated in your family, something that's repeated in your own life, something that somebody else has pointed out to you, something that seems to affect your finances, where you just can't get the breakthrough. You know, there may be some reasons that you have given for why it hasn't happened, and maybe it's true, but maybe there's more. And that's what this is about today. It's like, you know, maybe there's another side that I've not discovered yet, but because my heart is postured before the Lord, and I so want everything that you have, the Lord might be saying, well, now you're ready for that. Here we go. What are you going to do with it? Don't fight me. Invite me. And then I can offer you what some ways to approach my throne of grace might be. There's a scripture that all of us have memorized in one mission trip or another. I'll just read it. 1 John 5:14-15. If we ask anything according to his will, we have the petition we are asking for. We are, according to his will, we will receive it. We will have this petition. So I really believe that Jesus has his way and does what he wants, and he's sovereign. So, you know, I don't want you thinking, what happened to her? She doesn't believe that Jesus is in charge. Of course he is. But he's also the just judge. And he's the righteous judge. And he's allowed us to have releases, okay? We want him to extend mercy and grace. Let me tell you, I was in a courtroom a number of years ago, and there were two things that I needed and wanted and felt it was best for my family. And it was extremely difficult and scary. And I didn't know what to do. It's like, Lord, it's just little old me. How can I stand against the court system? How can I stand against an opponent who's going to sound super duper logical? How can I get this? He says, come to me and I'll explain how this works. Watch what I do. And the two things that I asked for were rendered. And it was as though the judge looked and heard who knows what and just went boom. And the two things that I asked for that were not plain and clear were granted to me just like that. I just sat there and was sitting in awe, because I didn't say a word. I didn't say a word. But the Lord delivered that. And I know that that was a judgment, a verdict in the heavenly realm. Another thing that I want to speak more, because I honestly, you guys hear me say this a lot, and I'm not so sure a number of you are operating in this yet, but you will. But Pastor Bill has a very high level in this area for healing. And anytime he's praying for me for healing, you know, and I've seen a lot of miracles and healings in my years. You know that. So a lot of supernatural things. When he prays for me, you know, I know that he's taking me into the courts of heaven. And the first time I recognized it to the extent that it was in 2010. After the big year when we almost died and were in the hospital and the enemy tried to kill both of us at the same time, not a good plan. But in 2010, it was just boom against me. But it was to seal the deal, to take me out, that I would no longer be here with you at all, trust me. And he heard the words, bring her to heaven, take her to heaven. I was so sick, whatever, do what you need to do. But I remember that, and I trusted, I believed, and I was in faith, and I ascended into heaven with him. And Andy was part of that. He was just in the room, and he saw it too. Who knows how that works? And then he saw Jesus come over, and the verdict was, oh, no, you don't. There is nothing in place here that's going to take her life out. And it was, and he saw these things, or this power, you know, touching different parts of my body. It was all over. It wasn't one attack in my head, although my head was pounding. It was all over my body to kill me. I'm not making this up. Since that time, and I was healed. This stuff works. It's not stuff. So we've had many other healing deals with me. Most of you don't even know about. And I'll say, all right, honey, it's time to pray. Let's pray. And they're serious things. And he goes into heaven the way I'm telling you. And he hears and he sees and he decrees and he declares the Father's heart for me, and I get healed. You just can't even imagine. This stuff is so powerful, and these are the secret things that the Lord's saying I'm revealing to us. If you don't know how to do that, just try. Just say, Jesus, we're going into your courtroom. Help me. I'm going to learn more. This verdict against me or my loved ones is not okay, or this accusation. That's just on a side. We can talk more about that another time. But just to wrap it up, we don't want to allow the devil a legal right to deny us anything. First Peter 5:8, let me read this. Be sober, vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. You know that, 1 Peter 5:8. That's not Old Testament, that's New Testament. And there's that same word, adversary. And this is an opponent in a lawsuit. That's what that means. The word is antitikos. Antidikos, sorry, I said it wrong. Greek, antidikos, Greek, opponent in a lawsuit. He seeks a legal right to devour, to steal, to kill, to destroy. And when you have something that's not turning, or there might be a very strong sickness that's not turning, it's like, why is that not turning? You're Jehovah Rapha. It's good to look at these things because the enemy's seeking to destroy, and we need to consider all of these areas that we're talking about here. So all these verdicts that come out of the realms of God's heart, they just put us in a place of just getting closer to Jesus. I think that's really how I just want to leave it here, because I want to build this up for us to think about some things. We want to go to new dimensions, and just seeing prayer as our activity from a legal perspective in the courtroom. It doesn't mean that it's stern and you've got to dress up, put a tie on, and now you go to prayer. I mean, how goofy is that? But when we have our all-night prayer here, you know, we'll be praying for certain things. And, you know, as we pray and we ascend into the courts of heaven, we haven't talked a lot about that, but that's what we're doing in many areas. And we know that we know something's happened. We just know. How do we know that? Because the Lord gives that revelation. That's why it's so important that we're doing those things. So I think, just to wrap it up here, I just want to pray over us right now, because there's a lot of information. And I never want something to be, you know, head information. Although you're bright people, so you hear it, but it needs to go right down into your heart based on the word and the presence of God, so that we are prophesying out our kingdom destinies, that we know that there's a book of life that's written. Let's just look really quickly at Psalm 139:16. I think I forgot about that one. That was on my mind too. Psalm 139:16. There's the Lamb's book of life in Revelation. There's another book here, and this is written before we're born. Okay? That's why the atrocity of, oh my goodness, of abortion is disgusting, outrageous. Be sober. Oops. Psalm 139:16. For I knitted you together in my mother's womb. Do you have it? Your eyes have seen my unformed substance, that one. And in your book were all written the days that were ordained for me, when as yet there was not one of them. Your eyes have seen my unformed substance, and in your book were all written these days. So we can see that the Lord has these things, and we want to decree and declare all of these without, but get rid of any curses that are in the way. Maybe we're decreeing over our kids and declaring over our marriages, but maybe we've got some other power going that's hindering those things from coming to pass as quickly as they could. Let's get rid of any other power that's messing around that might be taken off of our kids or family or friends or whatever. And then they can see the light and repent. Well, they're just too hurt. They just don't get caught up in that. No, that's a mistake. That is a trap of the enemy. They're just so wounded and so hurt. That's not what the scripture's saying. The scripture's giving us the keys to unlock things so that people can see and respond. And the Lord will take care of the hurts and the wounds, but we want them, people, to begin to respond to the Lord, and this is how we can help that. Does that make sense? So this is kind of, you know, sometimes we put the cart before the horse, and so we're trying to get things here so that if there's a power that's constantly, it's like we're walking outside and we're holding the hands of our grandkids, there's something, and there's bees swarming around always, you know, interrupting us. Like, yeah. You're trying to enjoy the time with your kids, and there's just something there that's, and take it to a worse place. Let's say snakes around us. And the Lord's saying, deal with the snakes. See what's there. You know, that's not, God's not saying, I'm mad. You're bad. I'm mad. He's saying, I love you. This is my love blessing for you. It's, you know, something that can take you into another realm. I love that. The scripture for Peter being prayed for by Jesus was in Luke 22:31-32. Let me put that one up really quick, Cara, would you? Just so people, if they're trying to take notes. Luke 22:31-32. Thank you, Jesus. And then the final one will be, I think, Hebrews 10:5-7. Some New Testament verses that I think will be helpful. But Luke 22:31-32 reads, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has demanded permission to sift you as wheat. Now remember, this is Jesus as a man. I mentioned this earlier, but I want you to see the text. Satan has demanded permission to sift you like wheat, but I have prayed for you as a man, I'm putting that in, that your faith may not fail, and you, when once you have turned again, can strengthen your brothers. Do you love that? Oh my gosh. Hebrews 10:5-7. This is about Jesus and the book that was written about him coming down to earth. Therefore, when he comes into the world, he says, sacrifice and offering you have not desired, but a body you have prepared for me. In whole burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, you have taken no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I have come. In the scroll of the book, it is written of me to do your will, O God. So let's just pray. There's so much more, but this is a good beginning or help for some of us, I hope. Father, we thank you for the words of life today. And we thank you, Lord, that the stands that we've taken to live a holy, righteous life for you are at the core of our being. And any hindrance, God, that is outside of us as well, that is trying to keep us from your very best in every way. Lord, we just say no. We say no, and we need to know how to say, to do something with the no. Lord, you see our resolve. You see our will. You see our heart. You see our desire. We want to rise into your heavenly throne room. We want to spend time hearing from you and understanding what our dreams mean and how to wield these truths, God, to be able to add safety and protection and freedom for those we love, but first and foremost ourselves, so that we're praying in authority with the fullness of the authority, Lord, with nothing hindering us from our past or even our present, with sin in our life, transgression in our life, or iniquity in our generational lines. Lord, we don't want any of that because you paid a big price for that to be taken away, which it was officially at the cross, but it needs to be appropriated in every part of our life, in our mind, in our will, in our emotions, in our bodies. Thank you, Jesus. We're believing, God, that just as John was told to open the scroll and eat of it, and Father, that he was doing that because he was taking your prophetic word, and it was sweet, but it was also distressing because there were things that need to take place in the last days, and we need to understand how to interpret Revelation, and we need to have the steps for our own cleanliness already moving in an area, in a way of holiness that takes us to a place to help us receive understanding of what's yet to come, as well as freeing ourselves and others. So, Father, we offer ourselves to you. And, Father, we thank you for this time where this can be released over our body in a new and refreshing way. Father, that when we hear the words, Spirit of Leviathan, that we won't fear that, that we will understand what the enemy seems to be able to have a right to try to bring to those who will let him. And Father, we don't want to be those people ever, to have division in our homes, in our marriages, in our ministry, in our businesses, in our region, or any other principality or power. So Father, we thank you that humility at the core level of our hearts is our highest and our greatest cry. And we thank you, Father, that as we examine these areas of Scripture and these words this week, as we go back and perhaps listen to this message and think about these words and ingest this and eat of the good news, God, that you're going to bring greater levels of freedom to us. Father, that any arrogance or ignorance that gives the enemy a legal right to keep striking, Lord, we're going to do something about that by your Spirit, in the power of your blood. So we thank you for that, Jesus. You're so kind. It's your kindness that leads man to repentance. And Father, where we have spoken in frustration or irritation or annoyance in any way towards another person, about another person, even in our talking, Lord, that may have even invoked more warfare against them, Lord, we ask for your forgiveness right now. That we, if we have been part and party, if that's how it works in the spirit realm, Lord, which I believe it does, Lord, we're asking for your forgiveness of that and for restoring work in the people that any of us may have spoken ill about or of. It's not just enough to say, sorry, God, you need to make it right in the heavenlies. And at times, the right with the person, because you may actually empower the enemy to come against that person by your words. That's how strong our words are. And that's why we go into the courts of heaven that way. Thank you, Lord. Father, I thank you that the battlefield that we're on, which is very strong, begins in the judicial realm, in the courts. Thank you, Lord, for helping us see the bigger picture, the new dimension. It's not new, but another dimension, God, as we fight the battles that you teach us how to fight, but we use the keys that you give us to disarm and disempower and disenfranchise and destroy and dismantle the enemy's ability to continue to wreak havoc like he does legally. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We bless your holy name. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. God bless you guys. That's a lot to unpack. And I just encourage you to think about it and talk to each other about these things. If you can put some music on, that would be great, because I think it'll take us to another place, another dimension of freedom for all of us. So.